God works in quite miraculous and mysterious ways. Long before I lost my voice, I asked Father Andrew to preach on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, and it just so happens that to ensure that I didn't usurp that from Father Andrew, I believe the Lord took my voice. So with that, I would like to welcome Father Andrew Kearns, who serves with us to preach today on the Sunday of Orthodoxy.
So that the eagle's facing you. Find out if it balances right. I'm going on a limb here. Okay. Okay, good. And I am not playing with my cell phone, but once again, like the last time I was up here, I am having mercy on you and setting an alarm so that way I stop at some point. We call this morning the Sunday of Orthodoxy, the triumph of Orthodoxy. But notice that the title for this morning, for this Sunday, comes from long before there are any other denominations, or traditions as we would call them. This is not a Sunday in which we celebrate some type of victory of the Orthodox tradition over the Catholic tradition or the Protestant traditions or anything like that. This was a Sunday in which the fathers proclaimed that the faith, the true and full faith of Christians, was restored to the church. That is why we call today the triumph of Orthodoxy. And what we celebrate when we celebrate the triumph of Orthodoxy is we celebrate the restoration of these icons. Now, I could give you a whole theological discourse on the dogmatic understanding of what an icon is and why we can venerate them versus worship them, yada, yada, yada. But for one, at dogmatic, I probably lost 3/4 of y'all. And somewhere in the midst of that big sentence, I probably lost the rest. When we speak about Orthodox theology, when we speak about the restoration of icons to the church and the triumph of Orthodoxy, sure, we speak about dogma. But more importantly, we speak about the faith and the experience of Christians. What is on that stand is mere wood, oil, paint, etc. It is not God. We can clearly and fully say that. That is not God. And yet, in the experience of the human being, that is a window of the breaking in of heaven into reality. Or really, of the breaking in of reality into the veil in which we live, the fallen and sinful world. That is a physical object made of creation. And yet, we proclaim with faith, with the 2,000 years of the history of our church, that not only is that created matter, but that the Lord God Almighty deigns it to become present within His creation. That we experience that in our daily lives. That we experience that in our life in the church. And how amazing a mystery is that? There was a time in the church, as unfortunately there is now today, when Christians sought to have 4 bare walls in the church. Remove everything. It's all excess. We don't want anything to distract us from prayer. We don't want anything to distract us from God. And what are you left with? A priest, young or old, standing in front of an altar, and maybe a cross. And then sometimes the altar disappears, and sometimes even the cross. And you're left with a priest. And now what are we worshiping? An old book in front of him, and whatever words that priest will give you. See, the human being, we are created. We are made of physical things. And our God so loves us and so understands us and so seeks to be a part of our lives that he becomes present in the physical world. He becomes present in the created world because he loves us. This is what we proclaim with icons. And it's a blessing for me, as an Irishman, that this past week we have celebrated a plethora of Irish saints, or really Celtic saints. Today we celebrate Cuthbert, the great saint of Northumbria and the island of Farn. A couple days ago we celebrated St. Patrick. A couple days before that we celebrated Bridget again. A couple days before that we celebrated Cuthbert, or Columba. We have Irish saints pouring out in this month of March. And their faith is one that shows you their orthodoxy. Because in their faith, they taught that you can find God everywhere. You can find him in the meadow. You can find him in the stream. You can find him in the woods. You can find him in the lives of those around you. The faith testified to by the fathers is a faith in which God does not stay separate from us in some other world, and that we can have a long-distance relationship with him, having our spiritual phone call every once in a while with prayer. It's not our God. That's not our faith. Our faith is one in which the Holy Spirit is everywhere present, filling all things. When we come to pray, we not only pray and send up prayers, but we pray with the faithful of every generation. Isn't that what we just proclaimed in the epistle? That apart from us, they might not receive. It wasn't that, oh, we're going to receive something better than them, etc. It was that apart from the fullness of the church in Christ, let no one be put aside and given something, but instead let us all come together as one faith, as one gathering of the whole humanity from all generations in the presence of God. And see, the Lord gives us his condescension into created matter because he knows we're human. I'm created. The church gives us the icons so that I have something to focus on with my body, to open me to the spiritual reality of the presence of the angels. Do we need icons? No. Are they essential to the Christian faith? Yes. Certainly I am saved by our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ in his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. But how do I develop a life in which I participate in that? How do I develop a life in which I open my heart to really receive him to a greater and greater degree every day? By reminding myself of the reality of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is open and it's now. And how do we as Orthodox Christians do that in our homes? God willing, there is a sacred space in your home in which you have created a prayer table or a prayer corner in which your family gathers to pray. Some place that you've set aside as special because then you consider it and you orient your life towards it. Hopefully, God willing, we have icons not only adorning our churches, but adorning our homes, reminding us that everywhere we go and in everything that we do, the kingdom of heaven is present, is open, it is with us. I remember as a child having that thought in my head when I would walk into the room and see an icon, shoot, I wanted to go steal some cookies. Or I wanted to go take some of the candy that I know my mother has stashed in her nightstand drawer. However, the panaiya is looking. I don't think it'd be very good to steal in front of the panaiya. Now, that was my childish ways. But in some sense, I understood the presence of the kingdom of God because of the icon. You see, when we proclaim today the triumph of orthodoxy, we proclaim a faith in a God who does not stay separate from your life. We proclaim a faith of a God who wants to be in every aspect of your day, who wants to walk with you, to carry the burdens of your life with you, to rejoice with you in the joys that come your way. We have a God who wants a full and present relationship in your life, not one of a long-term, long-distance pen pal. And so as we continue our Lenten journey, let us continue the path of opening our hearts daily to the presence of God. I will share with you a few reminders from Archbishop Dimitrios that came out today about how we do that. Consider your daily Bible reading. If you don't have daily Bible readings, consider adding them into your schedule. And if you don't know where to get them, if you have one of these smartphones that I'm very dumb with, there's an app. It's called Daily Readings, put out by the Archdiocese, and it has the readings of the church. Makes it simple. Grab a Bible, read it. Consider your prayers and your prayer rule, whatever it is. And consider making sure that you're firm in it. Consider your fasting. Have you tried to increase it from last year? Or have you settled for the same practice that you've had year in and year out, in which you're no longer challenged? And when you consider all of these things, well, for one, let me give you one more. Consider your almsgiving. Where your treasure is, so there is your heart. And your treasure is not just the money that you are given, but is that precious time in your day. Where are you spending your time? And are you spending it in pouring out the love of Christ into those around you? And as you consider these four aspects of our journey in Lent, don't focus on a whole life makeover, etc., because we can't do that. Focus on one thing, one stumbling block in your life that blocks you from feeling the presence of God every day. One thing that stops you from really participating in the experience of the incarnation testified to today with the icon. And focusing your journey on eliminating that one thing from your heart, come to the resurrection, receiving a greater peace of the full presence of God in your life and in your heart. Let us each, as we go forward on our journey, consider that the kingdom of heaven is open. It is now. And He is waiting for you to break down the barriers of your heart, that you might feel what the icons have already proclaimed to you, that He is with you, that He wants to be with you, that His love is ready to be poured out and filled in your life. All you need to do is break down your wall. He's already broken down His. May we do this by the prayers of the saints who have come before us, the Panaiya who watches over us, and of all the angels who guard us. These things we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.